Welcome to Valley Creek Kids.
We are a movement of hope for the city and beyond. And kids, we are so glad you're here to listen to audio Bible stories today. Everything from Valley Creek Kids is built around four truths that
God is good, Jesus has forgiven me, I am loved, and everything is possible.
Those four truths tell us the gospel, our story of hope, and we hope you always remember them. Now, let's get ready to hear a story from the Bible, God's Word. The Bible is a big book full of many stories that all tell one big story, God's story. And every single one of those stories points to
Jesus.
So, kids, I want to invite you all to take a deep breath in and out. And let's listen.
This is the story of Moses. It's another story in our series, People of the Bible, and it can be found in the Bible beginning in Exodus 2. Picture this with me. There's a baby boy lying in a basket that is floating along the banks of a big river. The baby has been placed there in the river by his mom, who is trying to keep him safe from the people who are trying to hurt him. You see, the baby and his family are Israelites. The Israelites are God's chosen people, picked by God to represent him to the world, and they live in Egypt. But Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, doesn't like the Israelites. They've been living in slavery for many years, forced to work harder and harder, doing whatever their masters tell them to do. And now, to stop the Israelites from growing, Pharaoh has ordered for all of their baby boys to be killed. So no longer safe in his home in Egypt, the baby's mom has put him in a basket in the river, hoping that God will be with him and that he will protect him. And he does. As the basket floats there, Pharaoh's daughter, the princess, walks by. She sees the baby boy and knows he must be one of the Israelite babies. But he's crying, and she feels sad for him. So she decides to adopt him as her own son, naming him Moses. When he is old enough, Moses goes to live with Pharaoh's daughter in the palace. An Israelite boy who really isn't even supposed to be alive, Moses is now being raised as a prince, as the grandson of Pharaoh the king. But even though he lives in the palace, Moses is aware that he is different from his new family. He knows that he is an Israelite. So one day when Moses sees an Egyptian soldier hurting an Israelite slave, Moses defends the slave. But Pharaoh finds out what he has done, and Moses runs away to a place called Midian. For 40 years, Moses lives a simple life in Midian. He gets married, has a family, becomes a shepherd, taking care of sheep. But meanwhile, back in Egypt, the Israelites are still in slavery. They cry out to God for help, and God sees their pain and suffering. He has a plan to help them, a plan that involves Moses. One day, Moses is out in the wilderness taking care of the sheep, and as he is tending to the flock, Moses sees something unusual. There's a bush on fire, but it's not burning up. He goes to take a closer look, and when he does, Moses hears a voice calling out to him from the bush, saying, "Moses, Moses." The voice is God himself talking to Moses, and he has a really big, really important invitation for him. God tells Moses that he is concerned about the Israelites, so he is going to bring them out of slavery in Egypt and give them a new home, a place that is good and spacious and flowing with milk and honey. And the person who he has chosen to lead them to this promised land is Moses. But Moses isn't so sure about all this. "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" he asks. So God reassures him, saying, "I will be with you." But Moses is still not convinced that he's the right person for the job. So God tells Moses to partner with his brother Aaron and promises that he will teach them everything they need to do. With that, Moses says yes to God's invitation and begins the journey back to Egypt. He meets up with Aaron, and after telling the Israelites God's plan, they go to confront Pharaoh. Now, while Moses was in Midian, the old Pharaoh died. So Egypt is now ruled by a new Pharaoh. But this Pharaoh hates the Israelites just as much as the old one did. His heart is hard towards them and towards God. He does not want to let God's people go. So Moses and Aaron try talking to him, showing him God's power by performing miracles, but he won't listen. So God sends 10 plagues upon Egypt, 10 warnings to Pharaoh to set the Israelites free. And finally, after the last one, Pharaoh agrees. He calls for Moses and Aaron, tells them to leave Egypt with the Israelites. So that night, they pack up all their belongings and animals and begin their journey to the Promised Land. And just like God told Moses, he is with them every step of the way. God guides the Israelites as a pillar of cloud during the daytime and at nighttime as a pillar of fire to give them light. He also speaks with Moses often, giving him clear instructions so he knows how to lead the people. As the Israelites arrive at the edge of the Red Sea and set up camp there, back at the palace, Pharaoh has decided that he actually doesn't want to let the Israelites go. So he sends chariots and horses and a big army marching after them. With the army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them, the Israelites feel trapped and begin to panic. But Moses reminds them that God is with them and he will fight for them. Sure enough, God has a plan. He tells Moses to raise his staff, stretch out his hand over the sea, and as Moses does, the wind begins to blow. The waves begin to crash, and God splits the water in half, creating a pathway for the Israelites to walk across on dry ground. Moses leads them across, and God closes the water behind them, sweeping Pharaoh's army into the sea. In awe of what God has done, Moses and the Israelites can't help but worship. They sing and dance and praise God. And Moses, who hadn't even wanted to lead them on this journey to begin with, is now confident that God is with him. This changes everything for Moses. And with Aaron's support, he continues to lead the Israelites on their journey to the Promised Land, talking with God and trusting him every step of the way. Now, the Israelites, on the other hand, quickly forget what God has done for them. Hungry, thirsty, and tired, they grow upset with Moses. But again and again, Moses goes to God, praying and asking him for help. And guess what? God provides for them. He turns bitter water sweet. He makes bread rain from the sky, gives them water from a rock, and protects them from their enemies. It isn't an easy journey. But Moses and the Israelites experience miracle after miracle because God is with them. As they travel through the desert and the wilderness, the Israelites arrive at a place called Mount Sinai. And Moses goes up the mountain to meet with God. There on Mount Sinai, God tells Moses many things. He gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which are like laws that will show the Israelites how to live and be free. He also gives Moses instructions on how to build something called the tabernacle, a tent where God's presence will live among the Israelites, where they can go to meet with him and worship him. During all of this, Moses realizes that God's presence matters more than anything else. He oversees the building of the tabernacle, and now the Israelites are no longer slaves running from Egypt, but their own nation with laws, leaders, and a place of worship. After some time, they start moving again as Moses continues to lead the Israelites towards the land God has promised them. And then finally, they arrive. But before they enter the Promised Land, God tells Moses to send some men to scout out the land and explore it. When the scouts come back, they tell everyone that the land is everything God promised, full of fruit and flowing with milk and honey. But it is also full of giants. Moses, along with two scouts named Caleb and Joshua, remind the Israelites that God is with them so they don't have to be afraid. He has already said the land is theirs, but they don't listen. And the Israelites refuse to go into the Promised Land. Instead, they want to go back to Egypt. Moses prays and talks with God, and God decides that the Israelites can't enter the promised land until they learn to trust him. So, instead of stepping into the land God had promised them, the Israelites wander the desert for 40 more years. Moses continues to lead them, talking with God and teaching the Israelites about him. It's also believed that during this time, Moses writes the first five books of the Bible, documenting everything God has done for the Israelites. But leading the Israelites is hard, and Moses grows frustrated with their constant complaining. One day, as they grumble at Moses about water, he gets angry and strikes a rock with his staff. But this isn't what God asked him to do. In this moment, Moses is like the Israelites. He isn't trusting God either. Because of this, God tells Moses that he will not be able to enter the promised land. Now, at this point, Moses is 120 years old and at the end of his life, so it's time to pick a new leader who will lead the Israelites into the promised land. God chooses Joshua. And in the presence of all the Israelites, Moses encourages Joshua, saying, "Be strong and courageous. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you." Then Moses climbs a mountain, and there God shows Moses the promised land before he dies. From that point on, there is no other leader like Moses. No other leader who God knows face to face, who performs all the signs and wonders God sent Moses to do until Jesus. Jesus, another unsuspecting baby who grew to become a man that God chose for a special mission, to lead his people back to him.
Wasn't that a great story? Kids, thank you so much for joining us today. And parents, we would love to stay connected with you. You can find us on your favorite social media platforms or at valleycreek.org. And for other Valley Creek Kids resources like worship music, messages, coloring pages, and more, you can check out Valley Creek Plus. Well, we hope you join us again soon. Bye!